Want to learn how to fix laptops? Learn with over 40 HD videos, instantly downloadable at laptoprepairvideos.com. Welcome to Podnut Daily, episode number 291. Thank you guys for tuning in, listening, and streaming. We are a show about computer repair, and we are kind of unique in the fact that we go over techniques, methods, and help other computer repair technicians out there get their either their business up off the ground or teach them things to use in their business and give them tips and tricks and tools. We like to talk about the jobs we're doing on a daily basis. And we've been doing it for a while now. So if this is the first time you're listening to the show, happy to have you join in. Listen to all the past shows. I'm sure you'll get a lot out of them. And we're having a good time doing this. So happy to have a guest on the show we've never had on before. And he just signed up at the last minute, so I really appreciate that. And that is David Temple from TCPCServices.com. What's up, David?
Not much. Hi, everybody. Nice to be on finally. I've been a long-time listener. It's good to actually to get on and talk about some of this stuff.
I appreciate that, and I hope others follow you in your footsteps doing that. Hey, where are you calling us from?
We are located in downtown Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Oh, great. And you have a computer repair shop out there.
Yep. Yeah. We have one. We're called TCPC Services. You can check us out at tcpcservices.com. We also have TwinCitiesPCRepair.com. Repairs. Sorry, plural. We thought maybe that would be a little better for Google finding us, but Right. Either one points you to the same site. So,
yeah, that's great. How long have you had your business going?
We're going about 6 months now. So we're fairly new, but things have been going well. And I know that Podnuts was really important in us, you know, getting up and started and, you know, just flooding us with all sorts of ideas and tips and tricks and things like that. So I was hoping to do the same, you know, as someone fresh out of the gates. You know, if anybody out there is listening who is thinking about starting up or just started up, you know, we can talk about some of the things that I learned, either good or bad.
No, this is awesome. Well, first of all, I'm glad Podnuts helped you, and definitely a new viewpoint on starting a business. It's so important to have as many viewpoints as we can about starting your computer repair business, because people are in different areas, different mm-hmm. towns, different countries, and the environments, like economically and otherwise, are different in all these different places. So what works for somebody might not work for somebody else, and if we get, you know, we dump all of our ideas into like the pot here, then you pick out the ones that work for you in your area. So I love newer guys who are just starting businesses telling us how they do it. So why don't you lay it on us? What do you want to talk about?
Sure. I guess the first thing we can talk about is location, because I know that's something we struggled with, thinking about when we first started. The Twin Cities, Minneapolis-St. Paul area is really kind of different, because you have Minneapolis and St. Paul, which is separated right by the river, but then you have, you know, countless suburbs all around, and some are growing and some are shrinking. And so we were thinking, you know, should we get in a suburb maybe, or should we go, you know, in the cities? And for us, and I know it's like you said, it's different for everybody, but we found a really great space right downtown. We're a block away from the light rail, you know, from the train station. We're right down the street from Target Field, where the Twins play, and also Target Center, where, you know, the Timberwolves play, and they have all sorts of concerts. So it's an easily recognizable location. You know, you can say, oh, we're three blocks east from the Target Center, and people know where that is. And we found that for us, so many people work in the downtown area. A lot of our traffic has come in from people who work really closely. Everything here is connected by Skyway, you know, because it's, you know, 10 below pretty much for the whole winter. So, right. You know, people walk in the Skyway, and, you know, we're not in it right now. We're in a smaller building, but we're really close to it. And, we've really gotten a lot of traffic from people who work in the bigger corporations downtown, who just bring their laptop or their computer to work with them and drop it off. We're also open early. We open at 7 a.m. So we're here to take in some of those repairs that people want to bring in, you know, before they go to work.
Yeah, it's really smart. You got a nice niche there. I mean, it's smart. If you're downtown around all the business people, you might as well tailor your business to the business people.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's worked really well for us, I think. I mean, so many, you know, people call in and they say, where are you located? And we tell them, and they say, oh, that's, you know, that's a couple blocks from where I work, or, you know, right. That's right off the Skyway. So, I'll be down there tomorrow. It'll be easy for me.
What is the Skyway? I'm an idiot.
Skyway, it's, it's like a sidewalk, covered sidewalk that goes in between the second floors of all these buildings downtown. So like when you're walking on the street, if you look up pretty much, you know, any given block, there's basically an above ground tunnel. I don't know if that's how you explain it. It's a giant hallway, basically an enclosed hallway. And there's glass on each side. You'll see them sometimes like connecting hospitals. They have those.
Right.
But it's all over downtown.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It brings you to any base. I mean, it covers a lot. You can get all over downtown, you know, as long as you get in the Skyway.
Really? And what if there's shops in the Skyway that just like is normal, like you're walking down the sidewalk?
Yeah. There's shops. There's little, you know, you can go like a Sbarro's or a Taco Bell. You know, there's food shops. Right. There's little, you know, convenience stores if you need, you know, pack of cigarettes or a Mountain Dew or something. But then it also connects all the banks, you know, the Wells Fargo, the U.S. Bank Center, the Target corporate building, because Target, you know, is headquartered downtown. So any building you can think of, the Orchestra Hall, you know, they're all connected on the Skyway.
Wow. So you said you're not in the Skyway, but how visible is your business? Are you high visibility? I mean, you are definitely straight downtown, but can people see if they walk past you?
It's not that easy, unfortunately. It's not a retail location because we're in a smaller office building. It's about five stories high. We're in the, you know, when you go in the lobby and there's the listing of the bill of the offices, we're in there. We have a sign in front of our door, but we don't have like a street facing advertisement, which I wish we had, but retail space.
Well, you're still getting business. So how are you getting your business? How are people finding you?
Well, we started doing Google AdWords. We pushed that pretty hard at the beginning. We kind of overspent on purpose, really, just because we just wanted to, we set our daily limit high, I should say, just because we wanted people seeing the site. And we've used other things too, which is something I actually want to talk about. We've been using a lot of the social networking things, which turns out to be really beneficial for us.
Really?
Things like Facebook. We have a Twitter account. My coworker, Matt, actually, in the mornings, most mornings, he has a program that you can search people's tweets by location. So he searches for computers, laptops, viruses, things like that, and then actually tweets those. You know, if they're saying, oh, my laptop sucks, blah, 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 you know, I got a virus, he'll actually tweet them, you know, and you know, tell them, oh, hey, we can fix that for you, things like that.
How does that work out?
We haven't had a whole lot of business from it. A lot of people say thank you or ask follow-up questions and then kind of give up or, you know, whatever. Right. But, you know, they have our number. You never know when they might show up.
Right. That's it's a smart thing to do.
Yeah. And Yelp is another thing. I don't know if you guys out there use Yelp, but it's basically like, it's kind of like Google Places where you can find things by category and then people write reviews for them. But they're everywhere. And, actually I think if you search, it's helped us in our SEO, even like when you search computer repair, Minneapolis or something like that. For a while we were number two on Google, our Yelp page was. So it's not even, you know, it's not even our website. It's our Yelp page, but you know, it's better than nothing.
No, so that's awesome. Cause I don't know if a lot of computer repair guys use Yelp. I mean, I think of Yelp for like restaurants and like stores and different places like that. But, yeah, that's an awesome thing to get on.
Yeah,
Yelp
and you can put coupons on there too. Same with Foursquare. You know, you can always have specials running. And we even have a special where if you like us on Facebook, you get a discount. You know, so then those people's friends see, you know, that they're visiting us. So maybe you know, they put that in the back of their brain, bookmark us.
Is it free to get on Yelp?
Mm-hmm. Yep, all these things are free. Yeah, okay. we didn't have to pay for that.
How do you use Facebook? Sorry.
No, that's okay. We have a Facebook page, basically. This is something I wish Matt didn't have to leave, my coworker, my partner, but he's the one who set it up. But it seems pretty easy to set it up, and then it's just a page on Facebook. So if you log on to Facebook in the search bar, if you type TCPC services, we show up there, and you have discussion boards, or you can have, you know, we push out updates or things like that. You know, we had a sale at the end of the year that just ended. But like I was mentioning earlier, you know, if you like us on Facebook, then we can give you a discount still. So things like that.
And people find you through that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, friends and, you know, our friends and family help promote it to other people. if that makes sense, you know. So like my wife will like us on Facebook or repost something that we've posted, and then maybe someone she works with or someone she used to work with, or her aunt knows somebody who needs their computer fixed, you know, all the, you know, and especially in this business, you know, it's so word of mouth. We found that getting people in initially is so key.
Right.
And we've had return customers already, you know, we're 6 months in, we have return customers, we've had recommendations. You know, you got to get them in the door, and then you just wow them, do a good job, and then you bring other people in.
Right. That's neat. I was curious how people would use Facebook, and it is, you know, there's no magic way to use Facebook. It's word of mouth through Facebook.
So
yeah, I was curious if you were using it that way. And that's, you know, people, you know, are recommending you word of mouth over the internet or word of mouth to an actual physical person is going to work
either way.
It's going to work the same. Yeah. That's great.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. What else do you want to go over?
Something that at least was helpful for me was when we first got started in here, you know, when you start a computer business, obviously you need computers. And something that I found was helpful was building my own PCs, you know, going to podnuts.com/Newegg or podnuts.com/eBay or whatever, and just and buying your parts and just putting them together yourself and going through, because it could be fun. It can also be a nightmare at the same time, you know, depending on your situation. But for me, it was because I had worked with computers, you know, all my life, and I've taken them apart and, you know, upgraded RAM, things like that, switched out hard drives, but to actually take it from the bare bones, put it all together and learn that way, I think was really beneficial for me. And it's, I don't want to say it's real cheaper or a whole lot cheaper, but maybe you save a few bucks here and there, and then you can make it exactly how you want. And the experience you gain, I think, was really helpful for me. So that's something I'd recommend. You know, if you're going to build a couple PCs.
That's a great tip. I had fun every time I had to do that. And because it's so satisfying when you're done the machine. I mean,
oh, yeah.
You buy all the parts. They all come in separate boxes and you put them together. You're like a kid again. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and then it blue screens the first time and then you're pulling your hair out.
You know? I guess so.
You're trying to hack the BIOS or something. But yeah, and that actually helped us also transition to Macs even. I had experience with Mac just basically, you know, playing around with it. I had one, you know, your mail, your internet, but I never really dove down deep into it. Mm-hmm. And then I knew Macs was something that we needed to know and something I recommend everybody know. You don't have to be an expert at it, but we've had so many people call in and ask, oh, do you fix Macs too? Like there's this weird wall for people thinking that maybe it's the commercials. I don't know what it is, but people really think that like PCs and Macs are two totally separate things, you know? And I know the operating system's different and all that stuff, but you know, computer's a computer and people have a hard time making that connection. And so when you can say, yes, I know how to fix Macs, I can fix your Mac, no problem. That really, you know, that we've had a lot of conversions just on that, because it seems like they were getting turned away by other shops who didn't really work on Macs that much.
Right. You know? That's probably why they're asking you, because they might have talked to somebody or called somebody else that said, no, mm-hmm. they don't. And those guys, they are different. I mean, like you said, it's in the guts, they're all the same, but some guys just don't want to touch them. They don't want to have anything to do with them. And it's such a good idea to be involved with Mac right now. It's a smart business because the demand's going up and the supply, you know, of people who can fix it is low still. So I would get on that and market that big time.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's one shop in town that is like a certified Mac repair center. So if you have like Apple Care, you know, you would take it to them, because we're not Apple certified. So we can't do Apple Apple Care repairs. But that doesn't seem to bother people. So.
No, I don't even bring that up. I think it's hard to get certified, because there were shops out there that before Apple had their like stores and the Genius Bar and all that stuff, there were shops out there that had to be Apple certified so people can repair this stuff. And I think even for those shops at that time, because I knew a guy, he said it was so hard to get his Apple certification. And now that Apple
it's expensive now too. You have to pay a good chunk of change just to get in their program, which doesn't make really much sense.
I know. I can imagine, because they want people to go to the Apple store now. I mean, before the Apple stores were around, it might have been easier, but now they don't want you around, I don't think.
Exactly, because they want the money.
They want the money. So if you can become Apple certified, that's awesome, but you don't need to be. It's like, you know, like what you did with your website here. I'm showing it. You got an Apple there. I mean, so it means shows you fix Apple. When people see that, they go, oh, he fixes Apple, and then that's the end of it. So, and you don't need to be Apple certified.
Yeah. And it seems like most people, maybe I was just a sucker, I always bought the Apple Care just because it was because for me, at least back in the day, the parts are really expensive to find too. And that's changed now with more websites popping up. But I bought AppleCare just because I knew if I had to buy a part, if I had to get, you know, a new hard drive, my hard drive died and I need a new one, that thing's pretty much paid for itself already, you know, with the service and the parts. But it's different now. Now it's different. And and it seems like a lot of people aren't buying AppleCare. You know, they have, we just, some guy picked up his iMac today, had it maybe like just over a year or just under 2 years, I mean. And he never got AppleCare and his hard drive died. So we had to, you know, throw a new one in there and reformat it and everything. But people aren't buying it. So, you know, learn your Macs. They're really not that hard. And if you don't want to spend the money, build a Hackintosh because it's super fun, for one. It's way cheaper. I'm running an i3. I'm Skyping right now on an i3 Hackintosh that I built.
Really?
Yeah. And it was, there's a new, I found this out on, I think it was Lifehacker. If you Google Tony Mac X86, so like the name Tony Mac X86, if you just Google that, that'll bring you to his blog and his website. And he basically has kind of an all-in-one installer for turning your PC into Hackintosh.
Wow.
Yeah, it's you need a separate video card. It doesn't do onboard video. That's the only thing it won't work. But my audio works. I got, you know, I'm running, I have this microphone here. It's running off an old Digibox that's firewired into it. Like it's a Mac, you know, all the way down, except it's black on the outside.
Right. Totally. No, I did. I was recording on a Mac or a Hackintosh for the longest time. And I think I know Tony Mac's name from like the forums where you learn how to do the Hackintosh. It was insanelymac.com was the place to go for learning Hackintosh. But I hope it's come a long way because it was such a pain when I did it.
Oh, yeah. And I know what you're talking about because I tried it a while ago, putting it on a netbook. I wanted to make a Mac netbook just because.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. It was super pain in the neck. But now it's basically an ISO. You burn it onto a disk, boot from it. You do a couple key line commands, and it tells you exactly what you need to type. You know, it's not like you have to guess. And then you need a retail disk of Leopard or Snow Leopard. You pop it in, and basically you have a, you know, what did this thing cost? $350
Damn.
Mac.
Exactly. Know? It is a smart way to do to get into Mac right now, and everybody should do it at least once. It is because you do learn a lot. It is fun unless you just go crazy trying to freaking do it, but you still learn a lot. And then also, and the other option is to just buy a cheap ass Mac on Craigslist. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Take it apart and buy a broken one and then fix it.
Yeah, and then fix it. Yeah. If you look, those black MacBooks, that was my first Mac, and that thing's still running strong. I have it at home right now just for, you know, web surfing and whatever.
They're
but
the greatest.
I've dropped that thing 1,000 times. It's pretty well built. It's the old plastic black one, but if you can find one of those for a good price, get one of those because I've never had a problem with that.
I love those plastic ones. I like it more than my aluminum MacBook Pro right now. So
yeah, we have one at the shop that we use for rentals, and that giant touchpad just freaks me out. I don't know what it is. Like, I like a button when I, you know, with my thumb. I like clicking a button, and I know it works like a button, but
I have mine completely set up to be like if that. You have to click the lower part as a button. I mean, I can't get used to just the whole thing being a button, but yeah. And I even have the like left clicking and everything or right clicking on everything enabled on it. So it is possible to make those trackpads into like PCs.
Oh, I'm sure it is. And it's just something you need to learn. I just haven't put the time into it, but it's like wearing a weird pair of pants or something.
Seriously,
like, just,
I know.
It's like it's got three legs all of a sudden.
That's awesome. All right. Yeah. Definitely great tips so far, man. Mac, got to learn it.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing we were thinking about when we first got started was credit card processing. Because there's 1,000 different options out there. Yeah. We started with PayPal, which was fine. You know, it was a little cumbersome for us basically because they would give you a credit card. You have to sit down at a computer, key all the information in and that, you know, and all that stuff. Something we found just recently is a company called Square.
We talked about them a little bit. Sure.
Oh, did you? Oh, I'm sorry. I missed that one. But
it has
been so handy. It's for those of you who don't know, it's another credit card processor. And, you know, the rates are lower than PayPal for one, which was good for us. You know, they take less off the top. And they send you this little dongle. You know, it's maybe that big. I should have brought it to show.
That's all right. I'll put it up on screen.
Yeah. And, but it's really great. You can plug it into any phone. We, you know, I plug it in my Android phone. You just type in the price and you hit submit. People sign with their finger on the phone. You can have it for your iPad if you have one of those. You know, but you need a, I don't think they do web you know, based processing. So you do need a smartphone, but they basically do all the Android phones, your iPhone, you know, and, or iPad. And I think they're, it's not official yet, but they're doing something for Windows 7 phone too. So if you have a smartphone, get one of those. People are really impressed by it, actually, because, you know, you just plug it in your phone, you swipe their card, and then they sign. And everybody that has used it, it's like, oh, this is kind of cool.
Right.
A couple people have asked about it, you know, because they have some other company that they do work for, you know. So they're like, oh, how much is this? I'm like, oh, the dongle's free.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. They send you the hardware for free, don't they?
Mm-hmm. You have to wait a little bit. It took a couple weeks, less than 2 weeks, I think. But we got ours, you basically need an email address. And you can sign up, and then eventually you link it to your bank account, just so the deposits are easy,
right?
Just like PayPal. But it's something that's easy. And when you do on sites, it's so much easier if you go to somebody's house and you can just scan it on your phone, scan their credit card, and then they can just sign on your phone, and then you're out. You don't have to worry about, you know, initiating PayPal invoices or, you know, right, and like sending them an email and waiting for them to pay. It's just bing, bang, boom, you're done.
What are the rates? Do you know offhand?
I don't know the rates. They kind of hide them, so you have to look.
That's all right.
I don't know. If you go to squareup.com,
SquareUp.
Is their website.
Cool.
And you can find it.
And what? So it goes directly into your bank account after they swipe? You have to hook it up to a bank account?
They keep it. It's like 2 days to turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
If you go over a certain amount a month, then they hold it for a little while.
Okay.
You eventually get all of it, but most of it's instantaneous. I think the limit's like $1,500 if you take more than $1,500 a month in credit cards.
Okay.
Which some of you guys might. We don't yet because we don't. But it takes a little while to kick back. You get it eventually. But you know, we use both even. We use PayPal and Square. We haven't gotten rid of our PayPal yet. Some people like paying over PayPal. You know, they have PayPal accounts because they have a side business or something, or they just have money in there. So we keep both, and you can use. But even, you know, use PayPal in your shop and then take Square with you if you're doing an on-site job.
Right.
Just because it makes it so much easier.
Sure. Good tips, man. I like it.
Yeah. Something else that we found out, we have a server set up. It's Windows Home Server, actually. So it's basically just a giant file server. And we keep all our invoices and things like that on there. About 2 months ago, we had a scare where the office across the hall from us, there's two offices on our floor, and the office across the hall from us was getting renovated for the new tenants, and construction guys did something weird to the power, and we lost all our power. It was, you know, most of, you know, I have a lap, my main business stuff is done on a laptop. So is Matt's, just cause we can take it back and forth. But you know, the server was down, you know, and, it was a big long thing, but it really kind of put the fear of God in me, actually, because we hadn't had an offline backup yet. It's just something I kept putting off and putting off and putting off. So finally we got on Dropbox, which is, I don't know if you guys heard of Dropbox, but it's amazing. It's basically you sign up, you get 2 gigs free of storage, or you can pay for more. And what it does is it keeps all your files in the cloud, but you install Dropbox on any computer that you want to keep synced. So all it does is, and this works on Mac, PC, or Linux, like on my Windows computer, it'll install a folder named Dropbox in my, you know, documents folder. And the same goes for on my Mac. And if you put a file in that folder, all you have to do is like drag and drop into that folder, or you have a new Word document, you save it into that folder, it automatically updates itself to the cloud. And so you go on any other machine, open up your Dropbox folder. You know, I created a new file called invoice1.doc, and I saved it in my Dropbox folder. Behind the scenes, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to click anything. It syncs it up to the cloud. I could go over to my Mac, my Linux box. I could go home, log on, and that file is in my Dropbox folder.
So
automatic.
It, when you upload it to the cloud, does it download into all these other machines?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it syncs every time you, like if your computer's asleep, you open it up, it syncs. You boot up your computer, it syncs. You can set it not to do so, you know, if that's a problem, if you don't want all those startup processes.
Right.
You can do it manually if you want.
Right.
But you can also share folders. So like my email address, david@tcpcservices.com. I have my own account. My coworker, Matt, has his own account. But we share that folder. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. it does live in both of our accounts.
Right.
It does count towards our 2 gigabytes, but you can set up shared folders. You know, so, but he doesn't see everything in my Dropbox because maybe I have, I don't know, something I don't want them to see in there. I don't know what that would be, but, you know, you can decide which you want to share. And it's been so great. Cause you know, you're sitting at home and you think, oh, I have to, you know, send out, I forgot to send this invoice to this person or their receipt, you know, and it's on your work computer.
Right.
You know, if you're using Dropbox, it's on your, it sounds like I'm getting paid by them, but I swear I'm not. It's just something that I've been using for a long time. You know, and using all the time, I should say. And, it's been working great for me. So if you want offline, and you can of course also just go to Dropbox.com, log in, you know, if you're at your, some at your buddy's house and you've got to pull something off there for whatever reason.
Right.
And this is good, you know, for your home use too. If you just want something to do that, they have Android and iPhone apps. You can even like put music in your Dropbox folder, open it up on your Android phone and just play it,
right,
you know, like from the speakers. So it's a really cool thing. Give it a try. It's free, you know, 2 gigabytes. But it's something that's working really well for us. And it's just so nice to have everything synced without having to click or remember or do anything. Cause I kind of not remember.
Yeah. A lot of people are liking Dropbox, and especially there's people using it, hooking their customers up with it. So their customers have cloud backup. There's people that are definitely using it for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Dropbox is really coming on strong. I never really got into it too much because 2 gigs just turned me off. I've been using Pogo Plug. Did you ever hear Pogo Plug?
Yeah. Yeah. That was something we researched. We just wanted to put something in free right away.
Dropbox is awesome. I know a lot of people are using it and they will continue to use it. Pogo Plug is neat though, because it's like having, you know how you say you put something in your Dropbox folder, it goes up to the cloud. Pogo mm-hmm. Plug is just like that, except the cloud is in your, wherever you want it to be. It's on a hard drive that you own.
Mm-hmm.
But the Pogo Plug itself hooks up to the hard drive and it creates the cloud. So you can access from, it's basically Dropbox with the cloud in your house or wherever you
and
are.
And I think that's something that we're going to get into, because and that's our first choice, just because Dropbox is awesome. A lot of people use it, but I have no idea how long they're going to be in business. You know, maybe their building goes up in flames and we lose all our data, you know, so.
Right. Or they start charging high fees.
Exactly.
Right.
So yeah, that's something that we're definitely with the new year. That was one of my business resolutions, was to get, kind of our own cloud. And then, you know, you hook it up to a USB hard drive. If you're worried about it, take it out, take it with you,
exactly.
You
know,
take it home with you, and then it's yours.
Exactly.
Somebody on the chat, mentioned, and they're right, is, we were talking before about PayPal and Square. PayPal does charge you, I think it's like $25-$30 a month
mm-hmm.
just to use their service.
Yeah.
And Square doesn't. They get their beak wet on the credit card charges, but that's it. You know, there's no monthly fee. So that's something else maybe you want to take into account too.
No, I've definitely heard good things about Square. To be a PayPal, it's $30 a month for the virtual terminal. I mean, anybody can make a buy now button, but the PayPal does not want you to use that as your virtual terminal on PayPal.
Yeah, that's what we use as virtual terminal.
Yeah. And Square, if it's free, no monthly charge, plus the rates are cheaper. It sounds
good
to
and
me.
I'm not sure if they're the cheapest, but they're cheaper than PayPal. And, you know, if you search credit card, you know, processing on Google, you get like 7,000 things. So it's, you know, I saw it on a post on a blog somewhere. A lot of people recommended it. I gave it a shot.
Right.
Really,
because you got to be careful with some of these. I mean, I used to use, from once years ago, I used charge.com and they sent me a freaking, you know, a little metal plate where you're supposed to run your credit card over, and they spelled everything wrong on it even. And it was just nightmare.
Like an old Chinese restaurant.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It was like that. It was so bad. So I highly recommend using a reputable merchant account provider.
Right, right. And another piece of software that we've been using is something called COM 100, COM with two M's. It's a web traffic monitor, basically. It's real time. So it's not analytics. You get a daily report, basically. But it's free, it's open source, and it runs on Adobe Air. So you can run it on Linux, Mac, or PC, or whatever you want. And they have an iPhone client, I think, and they're in a BlackBerry one, and they're coming out with an Android.
And what does it do? It tracks stats?
Yeah, it basically, in real time, tells you who's on your site, where they're coming from, where they live, how they got there, you know, the referral page, if they Googled you, if they got there from a Google ad, if they found you on Facebook or Yelp or whatever. And it also is a chat client, which is something that we have on our website. And so you'll see at the top of our website, it'll say, you know, chat with a technician or chat with a professional. I forgot what it says, but it's and we've got a lot of chats. A lot of people like to chat. I guess it's the new IM text messaging kind of age, but basically you click on it, it, you know, our computer literally rings like a telephone, and then we can just chat back and forth. and it's something that people seem to like, and it's something that we can use to track when somebody's on our site and how they got there in real time. That's what makes it different from analytics, is that it's in real time.
Right. And, you know, I love real time stat tracking. I used to use a site called Woopra, and because it was in beta, Woopra was very awesome because it could do like what you said. It would tell you where all these people are located and who's on your site. It was so cool that you could, if somebody was on your website, you can send them an instant message right to their browser, and it would pop up saying, I see you on, you could say whatever you want, like, I see you on my site, and it would freak people out. I never used it, but,
Com 100 has a less creepy thing like that, but it's like that though, where you can initiate a chat with someone on your site, either automatically. We have it where if they're on one page for more than 2 minutes, at the 2 minute point, it'll bring, you know, a little icon that says, would you like to talk to somebody? You know, that kind of thing.
Oh, that's awesome.
You can do it manually too, if you want, but the automatic thing is nice. You can just a friendly reminder, maybe that, you know, makes a little ding noise, and the little dude comes across the screen. Do you want to talk to somebody? You know, and that, and but it's a really cool thing. The live chat, a lot of people like it.
Oh yeah,
it's easy for them. You know, it's no commitment. It seems like, I guess, for them. I don't know, but I'd say
calm
calls and chats are about 70% calls, 30% chats. Probably.
Really? Mm-hmm. Com100.com.
Yep. Oh, sorry. I hit my mic. Yeah. Com100.com. It's free, open source.
That's great that it's free. See, I use Woopra in beta till it's paid, and it's quite expensive. So.
Oh, really?
Any free?
Yeah. I don't know how they make any money. I think just because it's open source, people like it. But
sweet.
You know, you'll see when you go to the site, you'll see all the companies that use it: Xerox, Remax. You know, all these giant companies. I think Dell or Sun Microsystems or somebody, one of the big tech companies uses them too.
Intel, Xerox, damn. Sweet. That's a great tip.
Yeah. And it's really easy. They just shoot out a little piece of code that you put in your site, wherever you want. Whatever, you know, we use WordPress, but even, you know, if you're using Tech Site Builder or any kind of hosting thing, you know, you can just pop that code in there, and it's just a little graphic. They click on it and you're all set.
Sweet. Very cool, man. Very cool.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Oh, we were talking about credit cards. You know, using credit cards for your business is always kind of scary, and I wouldn't necessarily recommend it. But for me, you know, if you're going to do it, get a credit card with benefits, whether you want to get, you know, flight miles or just points for something. You know, it's just something that was I thought about. You know, we were looking for some credit, you know, a credit card just to make, you know, little purchases and things like that, or for, you know, we go out to lunch or something, you know. And if you're using a card, you might as well get something for it. So the rates can sometimes be higher, but it's cool when, you know, at the end of the month, you have to pay your credit card bill, you know, which sucks, but you also, oh, there's, you know, $6 extra in my account that I can use toward a Amazon gift card or an iTunes gift card or something.
That's a great idea. I used to have the Best Buy Reward Zone MasterCard.
Sure. Yeah. We use that. We also use eBay Bucks. If you guys are on that, that's a really great thing. We kind of a weird story. I was fixing a laptop. The dude kind of brought it in pieces, and the speaker, or the, like the power button plate, you know, in front of the screen was, off, and I was messing around with it, for different reasons. And I popped his F2 button off. His F2 button went flying somewhere. I have no idea. It flew into the ether. I don't know where it is. He's a real nice guy. We actually have a contract with him, so it wasn't a big deal. You know, I just told him I'd replace it for free.
And who uses F2 anyway?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I didn't want to bring it back with a missing key, especially somebody we got a contract with. So,
So
I went on eBay and I bought a replacement. I had to buy the whole keyboard because you couldn't find one key, of course. But it was like, I don't know, $12-13, and we paid for it. It was free because we had eBay Bucks. You know, we took a loss technically, but it didn't feel, you know, it wasn't as big of a punch in the stomach, you know, when you have to pay for something you're not getting paid for.
How do you get eBay Bucks? Is it eBay credit card?
No, it's just something you sign up for. I guess you can probably Google it. We just got a message about it. It's just basically every time you buy something on eBay, you get a little something.
Ah,
you
get,
I think it's like 1.5%, 2%, something like that. It might be more. I could be way off on those numbers, but you just get a little something back. And if you sign up for it, when you go to buy something on eBay, it'll say, this qualifies you for 19 cents worth of eBay bucks. And then they just accumulate and accumulate. And then I think they do it in quarters. So after like one quarter, you know, after 4 months, you have so much money that you can spend in that next quarter. And then like quarter two, you start racking them up again.
Right. That's awesome.
Yeah, because, you know, computer techs use eBay all the time for all sorts of stuff. You might as well be getting a little something, you know, from it.
Exactly. So, nice.
Yeah. I think that's all I want to talk about. I have a couple other things, just things that I like, you know, as far as the business goes. Not so much as far as like starting up or whatever.
That's cool.
Oh, one more thing. You talked about how much you hate QuickBooks, and I could not agree with you more. we got that, and it's just so convoluted and backwards. It's just, we do all our bookkeeping in Excel now, and it's probably more work, but it's not, because I, you know, you're sitting there and I installed it, I downloaded it, I installed it, and I was pulling my hair out, and I'm a fairly intelligent person, but it's just, you know, it's just not set up like normal people think. I don't know what it is. So I returned it right away. Don't buy QuickBooks.
No, there's something to hate. There's something definitely to hate about QuickBooks.
I don't know what it is. It's just nothing makes any, because even things like, and I'm sure, I know there's a way to do, I know there were ways to do things that I wanted to do, but they certainly weren't present, you know, to me. You know, there's so much Googling and help searching that you have to do. Just
really?
Give it up.
Dude, I tell you, I had so much success. I hate saying this. I had so much success with Microsoft Office Accounting. It was 2008. They stopped making it. I would pick up an old copy of that, man, and use it. I mean, it did everything I needed, and it wasn't as crazy as QuickBooks. And
I think if you're a TechNet person, you can still get that.
I would definitely get it. You know, it allowed me to sell my shop, because I created reports with that thing that showed exactly what I had, income, gross income. It does a really good job of tracking, and you don't have, there's not a whole lot of setting up you have to do, because there is a template for IT services. So just use that template, get started, and track your stats and keep all your customers' data. I was printing out invoices on the thing. And I never actually bought it, because I remember, I told the story a long time ago. I was using the trial for Microsoft Accounting. I had a 30-day trial. And I was using it, and we couldn't get it to work with two computers. They claimed it had networking capabilities. We couldn't get it to work with two computers. So I called Microsoft, and I said, I'm using the trial for Microsoft Accounting 2008. I really like it. I will probably buy it if I can get it to work with this other computer. And they said, well, we don't offer support unless you buy it. And so I'm like, I'm using the trial, and I like it. I want to probably get it, but I need to make sure it could work with two computers. And they said, we can't give you any support unless you buy it first. And so I just pirated it. Screw them.
I used to work for a software company that it was the exact same thing.
Really?
I used to work customer support, which is exactly as fun as it sounds. And yeah, it was the same thing. We couldn't offer. I don't want to. Whatever. It's a complicated piece of software. Let's put it that way. Available to the public. I'm a musician. It's for musicians. Let's just put it that way. And so musicians are not good with computers. Usually it's just a rule of thumb. And so it's a really complicated piece of software. People download the trial, had no idea how to use it.
Right.
And would call us, and we're like, sorry, you gotta, you know, shell out, you know, $600 for this piece of software before we can tell you how to use it, you know? And yeah, it's the exact same thing. And so people pirate that as well.
I get Pro Tools. I don't know, but
it's not Pro Tools. Okay. No, it's a music notation software. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
So it's for writing music.
I think
there's at least more than three of those companies. So covered.
Okay, good. Yeah. You know, I'm not proud of not paying for software, but you know, it was such a crazy convoluted nightmare to even get somebody who knew at Microsoft what Office Accounting 2008 was. It was just nuts. So we're just like, screw it. I'm going to go so far as to even say, I think I found a code online, a pirated code. I put it in, it didn't work. And so I called and said, my code doesn't work. And they gave me a new code. So it was like so bad, but, it's actually good software. So back to the,
if you got TechNet, download that. Like I said, we use Excel, which I know is more work, but it's something I'm comfortable in.
Yeah.
You know, I want to spend most of my time fixing computers, learning about computers, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
I don't want to, and it's probably not smart business, whatever, but it's just something I just wanted something I can use. And I know it's not as good for creating reports, whatever. Yeah. I don't know. Like,
that's
Matt's
cool.
Really good with Excel. So I'm hoping that at the end, you know, when tax time comes, you can just generate all that stuff.
Tax time's nightmare. But you know what? Yeah. Even the worst case scenario with Excel is you can dump it into Access if you want to create your own Access database, because that's another avenue to go. Just make a simple Access database that just tracks your customers and prices and stuff. So at least if it's in Excel, you have it in a form that could be kind of transferred over. So
It's easy to set up. At least, you know, you build your columns, build your rows, and then you're done. So
cool.
Just another random thing that I really like. I know a lot of people out there are using Chrome. And if you're using Chrome, sync your bookmarks on Google, because it's just so much easier. You know, it's kind of like what I was talking about with Dropbox, where everything's just the same. You know, you download and install Chrome on whatever computer you want. If you bookmark something, it syncs it. So next time you start Chrome on any other computer, all your bookmarks are synced. And at least in this business, at least for me, when I find a web page, you know, whether it's something in a forum or something on Lifehacker or anything, I bookmark it. That's maybe I'm old school, but that's the way I do it. Right. And having it available on all my computers at the same time without, you know, having to worry about it was just really helpful. So, and it's, you know, obviously free because it's Google. So just, you know, get up and do it. If you're using Chrome, first of all, use Chrome because it's great. But, you know, there's other bookmark syncing things too that you can use. I know Fox Marks or X Marks is another one if you're a Firefox user or a Safari user. But yeah, do that, because I use bookmarks so much for just learning, or, you know, you don't have time to read a whole article or a whole, you know, 7-page thread on a forum, but you want to eventually, you know, you bookmark it and you forget about it, that it's on one computer, not another. So sync them all together and you're set.
Smart tip. You guys make me feel old now that I'm back on on Firefox. I mean, I get more and more Chrome propaganda every day. And I do use X Marks, but, you know, you got to install that on every computer. And in Chrome, you don't have to install that add-on, do you? It's just automatic.
You have to go in your preferences and set up sync. You have to one time go in there, easy. Log in with your Google, like your Gmail account.
That's easy.
We do the Google apps, like the Google domain. And I do it on that one just so I have them. So I know that, oh, these are work bookmarks.
Right.
I have, you know, ESPN and CNN and stuff on there, just one set, but pretty much everything else is work. So I can have them separate on my work machines. So yeah, I love it. It's great.
All right. One of these days.
Yeah, man, you got to get it. I know that everything I type in there is being tracked and aggregated and saved somewhere by Google, but, you know, I really don't care.
That doesn't bother me. I don't care about that.
But, yeah, I know people like, you know, with the Google domains, you know, you can get your website, you know, your website, not hosted by them, but, you know, all your email and documents and everything through Google.
Right.
And they offer it to you for free. And they do that because they're, you know, aggregating all that data you're typing in. They're reading all your Google Docs. And I mean, there's not like a dude sitting there reading them. You know, it's like computers are doing it. And I don't care because they do it for free.
Exactly.
And it's awesome. And I don't have to, you know, mess with, you know, and like things like, even getting your email set up, you know, I use Thunderbird, and when you first install Thunderbird, it says, what's your email address and password? And it realizes, okay, this is a Google account. I'm going to set up IMAP for you. Like, it's all set up. You don't have to worry about, you know, 'cause when you go hosting through, you know, GoDaddy or 1&1 or something like that, you have all this nonsense you have to do
exactly,
all the time. So.
Exactly.
It's easy. Web access, wherever you go. Anyway,
sweet.
I'm done pimping Google now. something else, just another great piece of software. You may have mentioned on the show, I haven't heard it. It's something called Synergy, which is, a piece of software basically it's a virtual KVM. So it allows you to share your mouse and your keyboard over any computer. They have to be on the same network, but, you know, you can have one mouse, one keyboard. Like me, I have three machines on my desk, you know, at any given time. You probably wouldn't want to do it on like a customer's machine just because, you know, you'd have to uninstall it and you'd forget.
Right.
But I have my Hackintosh, I have, you know, my PC laptop, and a lot of times I have a Linux laptop on my desk just because I'm a nerd or whatever. But, you know, it's a virtual KVM. So you use one keyboard, one mouse, and you can just, you know, move your mouse to the left of one screen and it just shows up on another screen and you can just start typing. And the best part about it is that copy paste works over multiple machines.
It does. I'm using Synergy right now because I have like four podcasting computers. That's why I'm showing
View.
And it's cross platform. It's amazing. So you go from Mac, PC, Linux all the way across. But that's why if it takes me a long time to do something, it's because I'm trying to drag my mouse from the screen all the way over there to the one all the way over here. But I didn't know copy and paste transferred over.
Copy paste works. Now you have to remember that on your PC it's Control C and on your Mac it's Windows keys
right.
V, you know, to paste it. You have to remember that. But yeah, it works. It's something I learned. Actually, somebody told me that at my old job, and I have it on so many machines and it is so awesome. And I know it's not a hardware KVM, because KVMs are great if, like, on your workbench, you know, you're setting up you know, hard, like a hardware KVM that you, you know, plug in or whatever on a workbench is great. But if it's just, you know, if it's just your computers that are always on and always on the network and you don't care, just use that because it's free and it's free. And it's awesome.
It's
and you can copy paste.
Super awesome. Yeah, I was probably trying to do copy and paste with the wrong control key. And because I was using command on the Mac and it's control on the PC. And it saves you so much desk space using Synergy. I mean, imagine like taking three keyboards off your desk and just using one. It's it's awesome.
Love and it. It's pretty easy to set up. Yeah, they have help documentation. But once it's set up forever. You know, you basically just have to turn them on. It can be cumbersome, especially on the Mac side. They have a used to have to like go into like
terminal and
like,
stuff.
Yeah, and terminal and like code it. But now they have like a GUI interface.
I have
for
a GUI.
It,
so. That's what I'm using right now. Let me see if I can pull it up. There it is. This easy little box. And I'm using QSynergy for my GUI. There's also Synergy KS, I think.
I think that's what I'm using.
Yeah, there's a lot of GUIs now. On the PC, it comes with a GUI. It's perfectly fine. Mac.
Yeah, PC is great.
Yeah. Good stuff, man. Good call.
Yeah. And I think that's about it for me. Cool. You know, as far as like antivirus stuff, I use basically everything that you guys are talking about, you know, on a daily basis. I haven't found the next greatest, you know, malware tool yet.
Good.
CombiFix is something I've been getting a lot of success with lately. I don't know what it is, but it seems like the last couple times where you have something on there and you know you clear off a bunch of stuff, but you're still getting redirects or weird pop-ups or something like that, CombiFix has found it. So if you haven't tried CombiFix yet, it's great because it's portable. You know, you can put it on a USB stick. You don't have to install it on the person's computer. I try to go portable whenever I can just because I'll forget to uninstall it. And then, you know, they get their computer back. They're like, what's this?
Right.
You know, what's this thing? So, you know, Super Anti-Spyware portable, CombiFix portable, CCleaner portable, all those stuff. But yeah, CombiFix is something I'm sure everybody knows about it. But if you haven't heard about it yet, use it at least once. Simple. And it finds stuff.
I don't think everybody heard about it. I'm telling you, me and Steve D were talking about that same fact today. CombiFix was the program we were talking about. Like, when we first started out, we're like, we had no idea. And then we found that. And that's just going strong, man. It's so solid. CombiFix. It always comes up. So it's a good solid.
It's one of my what I call three wise men. CombiFix, Super Anti-Spyware, Malware Bytes.
Nice.
That's what we call them. CCleaner's in there too, but it just doesn't sound as good.
No, it's not a wise man. It's just like an add-on.
Yeah.
All right.
But I'm done with my list, so
no,
that's
cool.
All I got.
Let me read an email here, and then we will play a voicemail from Door to Door Geek. This is from Steve. He says, hey, Steve, from another Steve. This is Steve, London, UK, in the chat room. I think he's in there. I think he's in there tonight.
I think so.
Just a follow-up to the show last week about write-protected flash drives. Since picking up a flash disk virus from a customer PC, I've been looking for one of these, but there's not many available. A listener to your show suggested the PQI model U339, and you were wondering if it used a hardware or software switch. I bought one today, and I can confirm it uses a hardware switch, and it works great. I would never buy one that claimed to use a software switch. If viruses can defeat antivirus programs, they can probably also defeat software switches. Hope that helps. Steve, that totally helps. Because it's hard to find one with a hardware switch, and I loved one I had with a hardware switch. And it's good to know that the PQI model U339 has a hardware switch. Good job. I think everybody should use something that locks like that.
Yeah, I that's something I've been hoping to do. I'm constantly, we have a bunch of USB sticks, and I'm constantly just, you know, updating all the software and just putting it back on there. And, you know, but I don't want to get viruses either. So
no,
that's
seriously, it's a pain. We got by because I couldn't find one with a hardware switch, at least locally. I used an SD card because all SD cards have those little switches.
Yep.
And just a simple card reader it was almost like using a USB stick. It worked fine.
Oh, yeah, it's all the same.
All right, let me play a voicemail from Door to Door Geek. He was very excited about something in this voicemail. Let me play it. I haven't listened to it in a while. I listened to it once. Here it is, Door to Door Geek.
Hello, Steve. This is your friendly neighbor, Door to Door Geek. I haven't called you in a while because stuff's been quiet. This is why I hate Vista! It's the worst operating system ever! Just ever had a customer's computer. You cold boot the computer, nothing works once the desktop comes up. The start menu is semi-responsive, the icons are semi-responsive, but nothing will boot or run. I launch in safe mode, everything works fine. I then do a warm boot from safe mode back into normal mode. Everything works fine. I then do a reboot, and nothing works. And no one can explain this to me whatsoever. I unhook everything. Modem, CD-ROMs, floppy drives, printers, USB cameras, and everything. This is an absolutely fresh install, less than 36 hours old. And this is the kind of pain and suffering I have with this up. This message is going to come up any second because I ramble on. Take it easy, Steve. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Wow. I never heard a door like that. Something about Vista he just really doesn't like, apparently.
Yeah. It's never something I recommend.
Door, I'm glad at least we gave you a platform to rant about.
Sometimes that helps, man. Just like a verbal punching bag. That's all you need, you know? Just get it off your chest and maybe tomorrow will be better.
Seriously. Door, I know he posted it in the forums too, so if you want to give him a little helping hand or if he hasn't figured it out yet, help out Door with his Vista problems. Thank you for that voicemail, Door.
Door needs to get an Xbox in the shop with like some zombie killing games or something. That always helps me.
Seriously.
If I have a bad day, just pop Left 4 Dead 2 in the Xbox and just mow down some zombies.
Really? Does that help?
Feel better. Oh yeah, it does. I mean, yeah, it really, I should get a punching bag because I know that's supposed to be the one thing everyone, you know, that's the great way to get your aggression out. But something, you know, taking a shotgun to the face of a zombie on a video game just feels good. You know, just helps you.
I say whatever works, man. That sounds good to me.
You don't want to leave work angry. You want to leave work happy that you're leaving.
Seriously. I've left work angry many times when I was fixing computers. Mm-hmm. Chuck Norris Facts does it for me lately. If I'm ever a little irate, I just go instantly from just whatever mood I'm in to just laughing my butt off. So.
Oh, yeah. There's always a YouTube clip or something you can find that'll cheer you up.
Seriously. Hey, man, this was fun. Thank you for doing the show.
Absolutely. I hope I can help some people out. And, you know, if it's like what it was 6 months ago, I know there's somebody out there thinking about starting up this business. And, you know, I couldn't, you know, we're just about to break even, which is actually a big deal for us, you know, because with our rent and everything. So it's not like, you know, we don't have our BMWs yet, but it's, you know, I wouldn't trade it in for anything.
Nice.
You know, owning your own business, you know, being your own boss. And it's not just so you can like slack off, goof around, you know, that kind of thing. Cause, you know, that's fun too sometimes, you know, knocking off early or something. But, you know, just kind of being in charge of your own destiny and you know, and not having to sit through committee meetings to make a decision and all, you know, you've heard all the arguments before. But, you know, go back to the old shows of Podnuts, check out the forums, you know, check out other websites, other forums, you know, just learn everything, you know, you need to know. And if you got to start small, start small. But if it's something you're interested in doing, you know, try it out because, you know, I'm never going back if I can help it.
Nice. I'm on the same ship you're on and I've been on it for a while and there's no way I'm going back. The best, like you said, you don't goof off when you're in your own business, but you know, you have the ability to, if you want to.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You know, people think, you know, that, you know, oh, you own your own business. You just show up whenever you want, leave whenever you want, you know?
And right.
Yeah. Maybe I do spend half an hour playing Minecraft or something on my computer, but you know, it's not, I have stuff I have to do, you know, you got to make money and eventually that's going to motivate you to do work, but
seriously,
I'm trading in for anything. It's great.
Good, man. I'm glad to hear it. Definitely keep coming on the show. Let us know how things are going. I think that would be awesome if you did that.
Sure.
And any way you want to contribute, is awesome. So.
Great. Yeah, I had a great time. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. All right, guys. So that was David. And let me just plug your website one more time. It's tcpcservices.com. I want to thank you. And I think your friend Matt is in the chat room, too. So hi to him.
Hey, Matt.
maybe he can come on a show, too, in the future.
He must have sped home. All right, we've been doing this longer than I thought. I thought he was speeding, but he just got home.
He might have been. But thank you, everybody, who are tuning in, watching, listening, streaming. That's going to be it for Podnuts Daily for today. Hang tight, we're going to be doing Podnuts Pro in about 10 minutes, so don't go anywhere. Music for Podnuts Daily has been provided by Evan King at purevolume.com/EvanKing.